Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey there, welcome to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I am blessed that you listen to us. I don't know if you've subscribed to this podcast, but you should. You should share it with friends and let them know that this is happening. We are the best kept secret. So we would love to have you sign on with us and just let us know that you're there. You can reach out to us at breatheretreat.life, find out about the ministry there, find out what we're doing, where we're going, and what is happening. See if you can get involved. Do you want to be a part of what's happening? We'd love to have you. You can contact us on that website. I'm here with my best friend, Mariah Ballweber.
Hello, everybody.
And we are talking, well, first of all, you are hearing this the week after First Breath in Tampa. But we are recording this at the start of Breathe Week, so we don't know how it went yet. But when you hear this, we will already have gone through the most amazing event in Tampa Bay history, I believe. It was amazing, and it was wildly successful. The Lord met us there. I know that for sure. I know He did. Because He always will. He'll meet us there and He'll change lives forever. And I believe a seed was sown in this week that we haven't actually lived yet. A seed was sown into that area that will bring us back for a full Breathe retreat in January.
Right.
And will affect a movement in that Florida area for a long time to come. The Lord has given us the mandate to change the face of women's ministry as a whole. And I know that's what we're doing. It is ministry by immersion, brothers and sisters. It is creating a space and opening everything up and letting the Lord blow like the wind through that space. It is unlike anything you've ever been to unless you've been to a Breathe retreat with us. The next one is coming up on November 13th right here in Oklahoma City, and we could not be more excited.
Oh, my gosh.
The
Lord keeps confirming just what He's speaking to us through so many different ministries and people. It's so amazing.
I'm hearing it. Now, I'm not telling you what the theme is because it's none of your business until you get there. It's top secret. It's classified. But we are so excited. The Lord's been speaking these things all over the body of Christ. I hear it everywhere. I hear what the Lord is talking to us about for November 13th everywhere we go. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's not weird, but it feels weird that when the Lord and you'll notice that. It's like when you buy a car. When you buy a little red car,
right,
of a certain kind, like if you got a Honda Accord or something, and you got a red Accord. You'll see red Accords everywhere, all over the road. They were always there, you just didn't notice them. And now that the Lord has spoken this word to us, we are seeing that word everywhere. We are literally seeing the images that He's giving to us. We are more excited now than ever before. We keep thinking we might slow down, and we're just speeding up. It's been incredible what the Lord is doing. You do not want to miss it. As long as I'm on this subject, I'm going to put in a plug for Breathe in November. It's Breathe Retreat November 13th in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We want to see you there. You need to be there. You need to register now because so many people are bringing groups to this one. It grows every year with people bringing groups of 10 or more because there's a huge discount for you if you bring a group of 10 or more. You can find out all that information on the website at breatheretreat.life.
And I want to add to that too, if you're listening to this and you're not in Oklahoma or in the Tampa area, we want to bring Breathe to you. So if you're, where are you? Cincinnati, New York, if you're in another country altogether, we want to bring Breathe to you. And so just contact us through the website and we can bring that. We're so excited. The Lord's been speaking to us about that for years. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to get going. We just need you to just let us know.
Hallelujah. It is so amazing what He is doing in the earth. And we're only bringing our part of revival.
Right.
We don't have all of revival. We don't steward the entire revival that's going to rescue the whole planet. We do not steward the billion soul harvest that is coming in, but we do have a part to steward. We do have a well that we are caring for and we are tending. And man, we are tending it with everything we've got. And it is happening. And God is using it. And we're continuing to yield. We're continuing to allow Him to be Lord and to play what He wants to play in the midst of His people so that they can be healed and strong and redeemed and transitioned from darkness to light and be activated so that then they can leave that place and launch out into wherever they are, carrying this incredible message of heaven on earth kingdom into their world, whatever their world looks like, whether it's the medical field or whether it's teaching or whether it's just a stay-at-home mom or a guy, just a cowboy working cattle on a ranch. You should not be doing anything without the power of the kingdom resident within you. But the thing is, and this will segue into what we're about to talk about. Last week, we talked about the fact that in Hebrews, what's that scripture where it's a reference? Hebrews 10:14. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10:14, it said, so by this one man's sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are being sanctified. And we talked about the weirdness of that language, that he perfected forever. He did it. It's done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Perfected forever those that are being sanctified, which means set apart and perfected. So he did it, and he's doing it.
Right?
How does that work? How does that work? We talked about that last week. We're healed by the stripes of Jesus, yes?
Yes.
And we walk out our healing every single day. We're saved in a moment of time. We're saved from the foundation of the earth because he knew you. Before you were even in your mother's womb, he knew you. But at some point in time, you make covenant with him through the declaration of your own mouth and yielding your life to his lordship, not just because it feels good in the moment, but because he is Lord and you are not.
Yeah.
And he made you, and he honors the fact that he made you in his image, but then you honor the fact that he gets to decide what you do with your life. Because he's boss, basically. Yeah. So there's a moment that you yield to him in reality, in time.
Yeah.
And then he perfects you, and you're being saved all the time. In James, it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. He's talking to believers that are saved. But then we receive the word that's able to save us. So we're saved, and we're being saved. And at some point, we're going to be saved.
Praise God.
Right? Just awesome. We are here on the earth, living on the earth in a family, in a timeline, and we are seated with him in heavenly places at the very same time. What do you guys even do with that? I sit around and think about that until it makes me crazy. I love that. I love that God is not restricted to what I understand. Thank God he is not limiting himself to my intellect, because it would be very sad for the world if he did.
Yeah, we would all be lost. That
right.
Would not be a good plan.
Right. Right. So we are dealing with the tension between what God says is reality. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And my reality today is, not so much today. Like, not feeling the righteousness happening today.
No.
Not really feeling it big and bad today. I'm just not. But it doesn't matter, because it doesn't change the word that has been spoken about you, that you are right now the righteousness of God in Christ, because you are in him. You are in him.
Right?
Right? You're not just with him. You're in him. And he is in you. Right? But what happens with what I'm dealing with today? Does that make that invalid? No. I know what you're struggling with today. I'm probably struggling with some of the same things today. Doesn't make my experience invalid. It just means that what God says trumps my experience for that day. Because God says I am the righteousness of God in Christ, whether or not I hollered at my kids today. Yeah, you may have. And to tell you the truth, I've been a mom a long time. They may have needed you to holler at them today. I'm just saying. But
sometimes
your righteousness is not disturbed by your performance or lack of it. So, Mariah, what does that do to us? What does that do with sin? Am I just saying it doesn't matter?
No, you're not saying it doesn't matter. Here's the thing that I'm learning more and more. When we sin, when we make a mistake, when we agree with the enemy, when we... Sometimes what I'm finding in myself, there are parts of my soul that would rather believe a lie than the truth.
Right.
And the Lord is just digging up those dry places and making them wells and gardens.
Right.
So when we find those places, we don't be condemned over it, right? We're not going to get condemned over it. But we repent, which means change your mind. It's just that simple.
Change direction, too.
Change direction. It's come up higher, okay? It's not, okay, well, now that you've figured out that you made a mistake, you better feel bad about that for the next 24-hour period and grovel a lot right. and totally lose sight of who you are and get into this dark place of guilt. No, that's not
until
not
you repentance. Feel like you've paid for it enough.
Repentance is, wait, that's not what the King says about me.
Right.
That's not true. So I'm changing my mind to agree with what the kingdom says about me. That's it. That's how simple it is. You don't have to feel guilty. It says that if your hearts don't condemn you, then come boldly before the throne of grace. So what we don't want to let our hearts do is condemn us and make us feel guilty. Okay. Because we're already the righteousness of God in Christ
Jesus. Now here's the thing though. I gotta interrupt that because please. I can hear your little brain arguing with us right now. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. You may be guilty. Like, let's say, for instance, you did kill somebody and you are wrong. You're guilty. You killed somebody. You committed a sin. By everybody's estimation, pretty much, that's a biggie, right? You committed a sin and you were wrong about that. That doesn't negate the fact that you are still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's a difference between being guilty and acknowledging your sin and then repenting over that sin and being condemned long term over what you did wrong. So for in the case of killing somebody, and then we'll go smaller. Not very many people listening to me have killed somebody. But in the case of killing somebody, you would repent of that sin before the Lord. You would do whatever you needed to do to make up for that, whether that's serving time or making it up to the family, whatever you needed to do to make it right legally.
Right.
Right. You would do that. But even in the midst of doing that, your righteousness was never in your performance to begin with. Mm-hmm. And honestly, children of God, listen to me. You can't get free by trying to do the right thing. You can only get free by focusing your full attention on Him and on the fact that He picked you, He chose you, He called you by name, He gave you His righteousness. When that becomes my dominant thought, righteousness is easy for me. What we think that shaming people helps them to be to not want to sin and so to be more righteous.
Right.
But actually, shame does exactly the opposite. It shackles you to that sin, causing you to do it more and more and more. It has the exact opposite effect.
Right.
Let's take a break for our sponsor. We'll take a quick break and come back and we'll kind of flesh this out because I know I'm irritating some of you and I'm so excited about it. And take a break with me. Come right back.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Welcome back to Breathing Room. This is Sandy James and Mariah Ballweber letting you know that we love you. We are so excited that you are here and working this out with us in our conversation. We're talking about sin and righteousness and the fact that we are righteous because He said we're righteous. We're righteous because we're in covenant with a living God who gave us His righteousness as a gift. And I was saying before the break, when that becomes our dominant thought, now I'm not thinking about how not to sin.
Right.
Now I'm in love with a holy God, and my desires are changing. See, the thing is, and I think I've said this before, I did on a podcast, I'm sinning as much as I want to sin. I just don't want to sin because I'm in love with Jesus. And I'm sorry that that irritates you, kind of, but if it irritates you, you probably need to be irritated. Because the thing is, shame never sets you free. We do that to our children, you know. When our son or our daughter does the wrong thing and we try to make them feel really bad about what they've done so that they don't do it again, for the love of God, please don't do that again. So we try to make a huge deal about it. But what we're doing when we do that is we lock them into that sin, and there's a cycle that's created.
Right.
And they can only get so far away from it that then they're sucked back into it because of condemnation never set anyone free.
Right. No.
Eyes on Jesus and the fact that that's not who you are. I think I've said that to my kids over and over again, especially to my youngest. That is not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I love you. I will always love you. And you are different than what you've been showing me today.
Yeah.
That's what sets me free to be a different kind of person, is that I really am different than I've been acting. The Lord has made me, in effect, in reality, righteous. Righteous people don't do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I believe I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, there are things I wouldn't do.
Right.
Well, okay, so let's make it more practical. If someone came to me and told me that I am the long-lost princess of some kingdom somewhere, and all the wealth of this kingdom belongs to me, and they've been looking for me, and they've got it all set up for me, and it's going to be glorious, and we are getting... As soon as I leave the place where I have had that conversation, if I believe it, I'm still in my same clothes, I'm still got my empty bank account, because none of their money has arrived on my doorstep yet, they're still calling me by the same name. Nothing has changed in the physical, but something has shifted in my identity. If I believe what they told me, something shifted in my identity.
Yeah.
And if I really am the representative of a nation, I probably won't go roll in the dirt.
Right.
In the park.
Right.
Because I'm a princesses don't do that.
No.
I probably won't go to the bar and get drunk. Because something about me has shifted. Nothing in the physical has shifted, but everything shifted about how I think about my life. Does that make sense to you? Then my behavior begins to follow what I see. Your behavior will always follow what you see. What you see about you. What you see about someone else. And somewhere along the line, I'm getting close to time, but somewhere along the line, we have got to start seeing people as Jesus sees them and helping them to see themselves the way he sees them. Because too often they're locked in that place of shame. Jesus didn't give us any shame. He just paid for the sin and he was done with it.
Yeah. Our God is a bigger God than that.
Yeah,
than
he is a bigger God than that.
Or what the sin is or whatever, what choices people are making. He's a bigger God.
They are making bad choices because of what they believe about themselves.
Right.
That is all there is to it.
Wow.
Because his covenant with us took care of the cost of the sin.
Mm.
And your shaming them is not going to get them anywhere closer to holiness. As a matter of fact, it will make sure they will not get there.
Wow.
They will be further from it after they're done talking to you than they were before. That does not give people a license to sin. Stop that. I heard that thought. Cut it out. People sin without any license at all. And Christians that love Jesus and are trying to serve him with all their heart are not trying to look for a way to sin and get away with it.
Well, and at that point, when I'm focused on the Lord, I know and I realize his delight in me. And I long to please him.
Yeah.
So it's really not even, sin is not even an issue. It's more of, Lord, what pleases you today?
Right.
What can I do for
right.
you today?
Right. There is life beyond. Can we just have this moment? There is life beyond sinning or not sinning.
That's such a small issue.
That is such a small, non-existent issue. Oh, it is so small because he wants life and that more abundantly for us. Mm-hmm. We need to get beyond that.
Yeah.
And focus on loving him and taking adventures with him and taking the nations by storm because God is good and because he loves people and he has a way for them to live that will bring life and not death. The reason we're against homosexuality, and we are, is because it kills people.
Right.
It is death for people. Mm. We don't have any problem with the people.
Right. I don't want them to die.
They're just in chains. And there is nothing promised for them except death and destruction.
Yeah.
It's like if you ran your car on corn syrup.
Right.
If you put corn syrup in the gas tank, we love you, but you're going to ruin the car.
Right.
And we're not saying that because we're judging you or because we have anything against corn syrup.
Right.
We just have issues with putting that in that car because it will ruin that $20,000 piece of equipment.
It wasn't designed for that.
It wasn't designed for that. It's against design. That's why we're against that. It's the same reason I'm against adultery. Because it's against design. I have no problem with a man loving a woman.
Right.
I have problems with breaking a marriage vow.
Yeah.
Because it will kill you.
Yeah.
The wages of sin is death. But that still is not going to affect your righteousness before the Lord. So there's the rub, is that your righteousness, your standing with God is not affected, but you can destroy yourself today with bad choices.
His ideas still have consequences.
Yes, that's the issue right there. But I'm not going to deal with you based on it unless you get holy. You have no dealings with me because my version of holy moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever pleases me at the moment.
Right.
We have got to understand there's a lot of hypocrisy involved in our lives. And I bless you in your hypocrisy. I do. That doesn't affect your righteousness either. But you have some things that you need to get right before the Lord. And as you're dealing with people, you have got to understand that they are perfected forever and they are being sanctified. They are somewhere in that process and you get to help them with that. That's good news. Do you know it? That is really, really good news. You deal with yourself from a place of victory. From, I am seated with him. I am chosen. I am seated. I am hidden. He picked me out. He knew me before the foundation of the earth. I was his before he slung the first star into space. I was his. He knew me before my heart ever started beating. I am his expression in the earth. I'm his great thought in the earth. He had a great thought, and here I came. I start there, and then everything else is an easier, because if I'm just trying to climb up this ladder of behavior and performance, I'm just never strong enough. Not for long enough. I can't even stay on a diet long enough to get any, you know what I'm saying? I don't even have the willpower to not eat the carbohydrates I want to eat sometimes. Forget it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't have the fortitude in myself to make this work. But he made it work for me.
Yeah. And what he says about me has to trump all of that. I have to believe, like you were saying this, if someone came to you and said you were the princess of this country.
Yeah.
I have to believe that because that's actually true. If you're a child of God, if you're in covenant with Jesus, that is true of you.
That is true.
You are kings and priests.
Of another country.
Yeah. Heaven.
We're ambassadors.
Yeah.
We live like ambassadors live.
Can I read this scripture?
Yeah. It goes right along with it.
This is from Song of Solomon 6:10. And this is what Jesus says about you. Look at you now. Arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all its strength, astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory. That's who you are. And if we start from that place, sin isn't even an afterthought. It's not a thought at all.
Yeah.
It's how can I please my king
right
today?
I'm in love. What do people do when they're in love? They do whatever they need to do to be together with the one that they love. I am one in love with him, and I know he honors me. I only have a minute left, but we got to go back to high school. Remember in high school when you had the best teacher in the world? They thought you could fly. Nothing you did was ever wrong to them. They thought you were amazing. How much harder did you work for that teacher than you did for the one who was always finding fault with you?
Yeah.
you don't want to do any work for the person that's always finding fault with you. You know, the old lady that is nosy and just has nothing but bad notes for your parents. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's just the effort is not even worth it. Mm-hmm. But for the guy that just thinks you hung the moon, your behavior will adjust based on your relationship with that teacher. Yeah. Even in the natural, that's the case. God loves you. He even likes you a lot. He enjoys your company. He likes just hanging out with you. He would like all those things to change, and they will as your focus becomes his focus. But it's gotta be, you have to do first things first. The first thing is eyes on him. Receive your righteousness by faith. When you sin, go to him. Run to him and receive the mercy you need and the help you need. When you sin, run to him. Don't run away from him. Sin will harden your heart. That's what the scripture says. Our hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But it doesn't change your righteousness before him. So get it out of your heart. Repent. Go on. Don't grieve about it for 2 seconds. Do what you need to do to make it right and move on. I love you. Be blessed today. I want to hear what you think. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, do that right now. Ask the Lord to come in, and he will. He'll renew your strength. He'll renew who you are. I pray healing over you in Jesus' name, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.